Continuing on, you talked about the two coal companies. That helped the revenue of MAPCO.
Well, we had a very profitable non-union mine that we were paying our workers $30 to $33 a man day. When union mines were paying their miners $20 to $22 when they worked, the reason we could do that and make more money was that we expected and got a day's work for a day's pay. Our productivity was far superior to any union-operated mine. We went on to acquire additional mines in West Virginia, Illinois, and Maryland, and we had a very substantial coal operation which was making real money.
Then we're coming up into the 70s. You've moved the company into some great energy resources, and timing is everything, because then you took advantage of the oil crisis and inflation for the 70s. And long about here sometime in the 70s, the OPEC embargo comes about. So all you did, and you didn't know it, was timing to take advantage of those oil prices. Your oil prices must have quadrupled overnight.
Well, they went up, but I can't put a number on how much they went up. We continued to grow. My one standard for growth was an improvement of 20% in net earnings for the stock per year. We accomplished that. I put together a very good management team, and I let the heads of these various divisions run their show pretty much. They had to justify their budgets once a year, and the critical line was to produce overall company-wide a budget that increased earnings 20% a year. We had excellent relationships with analysts in Wall Street. We went to Europe every year or two to visit our European stockholders in Switzerland, Germany, Paris, Scotland, and England. In Scotland, we always met with investors on either a Friday or a Monday. Obviously, we had to be somewhere for the weekend, so we'd play golf in Scotland.
In the 70s here, and as you go into the 80s, you were involved in the community here, but were you politically active at all?
We had a Washington office. It was staffed with a vice president, and the purpose was to establish a good relationship with important people in the Congress and senators. I spent quite a bit of time in Washington. I got to know Newt Gingrich the day he arrived in Washington in 1979. I had excellent relations with our senators.
Back then, who would they have been?
Bellman and Bartlett.
So that would be Henry Bellman and then Dewey Bartlett.
Dewey Bartlett. And I had a good relationship with Jim Jones as a Democrat. Once when coal strike was going on, there was talk that the unions wanted to close down the non-union mines. Well, we had no wage dispute, no reason to have a strike, and certainly no reason for the government to shut us down. I went to Washington, and in 2 days, with Dewey's help, I interviewed about 60 of the 100 senators to get my story across.
Wow.
Both Democrats and Republicans. And the non-union mines were never closed down.
Sometimes dealing with unions can get kind of rough.
Well, I had my belly full of unions when I was in the railroad business. And any time we acquired a business along the way that had a union operation, we set out to eliminate the union within the first year. One time I was threatened with my United Way activity by unions threatening to stop their participation in United Way and so forth.
But that didn't deter your...
No.
And did they withhold their...
No.
We're coming up to 1980. The issue of oil and gas, energy prices, probably not as attractive as they had been. What was happening then with MAPCO?
See, I was approaching 70, and I finally retired in 84 when I was 70, and I became a lifetime consultant by contract. When the merger occurred, MAPCO into the Williams companies 14 years ago in 98, I was delighted with the merger. And at that time, Williams acquired me as a lifetime consultant, which I am today.
Who replaced you in 84 when you stepped down?
Jim Barnes.
He replaced you as chairman and president and CEO at that time.
Yes.
What did you do then as you stepped down from MAPCO?
Well, I hadn't personally done any drilling for years. I did drilling back in the late 40s and early 50s because of my tax bracket. And I stopped when MAPCO started to explore and so forth because my only excuse for not taking a deal to MAPCO would be that it was too small. Therefore, I did it personally. But then something appears to be small, turns out to be a 10-strike, and then I'd be subject to criticism for why had I done this personally. So when I retired, I began to drill actively, personally. That has kept me increasingly busy. I have royalty and working interest in well over 250 wells today in Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, and my bride has wells in North Dakota. So I've been lucky in the oil business.
And you're managing all that, and remind people again listening to this, you're sitting here at 98 and you're still working. That's pretty remarkable. And you drive to work every day?
I do. I drive an Alpina B7 BMW. That is a regular BMW modified by a company called Alpina Burkhardt Boven Siepen in Germany. They step up the engine to 500 horsepower. The foot-pounds of torque to 516. Larger brakes, larger wheels, and then limited electronically to 174.
Okay, you're 98. Why do you need such modifications to your BMW?
I really need it like a hole in the head.
I suppose just because you can, right?
Just because I can afford it.
Right.
I've been driving BMWs since 1978, when Bill Thompson, who was president of MAPCO at that time and I was chairman, on a business trip to Europe, rented this BMW and came back with such glowing praise, I went out and I bought two BMWs, one for him and one for me. And I retired my big Mercedes just to have someone drive the car around town to all our directors and any other important visitors. I think the BMW is superior engineering to Mercedes in every respect.
Did you always have this interest in cars?
I wanted to be a race car driver.
Why didn't you become one?
Oh, I guess I got sidetracked.
Yeah. You did.
I've always been a relatively fast, but at the same time, a very, very careful driver. I know what's going on around me on the highway, and I've never had any accidents that were the result of excessive speed.
I know I'm taken with your age of 98. It is remarkable. Do you take a driver's test once a year or every 4 years?
No, I'm exempt.
Oh. At what age do they exempt you?
I don't know.
So you don't have to ever take a driver's test?
I don't.
Obviously, you have a driver's license.
Oh, yeah.
In your long life, did you ever have any major health problems along the way?
I've had a problem with a tendency to high blood pressure. I take medication for it, and my blood pressure is completely under control. In fact, my doctor, in my last yearly exam, said your blood pressure is under mine.